Praise God on this Sunday, October 15th, as God continues to speak to us. I was thinking on the last couple of weeks how God has said to us, let light squeeze you, and then said it's time to get up. And I just thought about that during this week, and I was like, you know, see, because when light squeezes you, sometimes you just want to stay down. You know, because you have no energy, you have nothing left. You ever be like that? I have nothing left, I have nothing left to give, I have nothing left. And sometimes we want to stay where we are. And God made it clear, if life squeezes you and when life does squeeze you, don't think you're going to stay where you are.
Amen.
Amen. And here's a blessing, because once we get up, the blessings are up ahead of us as we walk with God. Amen. And so God told us on last week, time to get up. Amen. And so I'm up. You up?
I'm up.
Amen.
I'm up.
Amen.
I tell you, my mom used to wake up, come into my room and say, time to get up. Amen. But I'm up now. God said it's time to get up, and right now I'm up.
Amen.
And I'm ready to go forward with God. And I'm up in 2 Samuel chapter 14. That's where we are today. 2 Samuel chapter 14. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 28. 2 Samuel chapter 14. Samuel is the easiest book to find in the Bible because it's out of the first Samuel. Amen?
Amen.
You don't know where first Samuel is, you're in trouble, but go to the Ministry of Help. Send you a table of contents, and you'll know where to go from there. So we're in 2 Samuel chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 28. And let's look at that together. It says, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king. But he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house, and said unto him, wherefore hath thy servant set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Jeshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray today. Father, we bless you for the word that was just read into our hearing and into our hearts. We're praying now, God, for a visit from the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all the truth of the word that you have for us today. Father God, we're ready, and we're expecting to hear from heaven. So, Father, speak unto us, O God.
Yes.
Open our eyes, God. Bless us to see what you are saying today. And most of all, God, give us understanding. And, Father, we thank you right now for what you are about to do in the place. Father, I pray blessings upon everyone here, oh God.
Yes.
Everyone under the sound of my voice, let them be blessed by the word of God today. And Father God, I just humble myself under your hand. And I pray, God, that you will use me as you see fit.
Yes.
And that you will get all of the glory for it. Father, we give you the praise and thanks right now for the magnificent things that are about to take place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We just read 2 Samuel chapter 14, verses 28 through 33. Our title today is, I'll Do Whatever It Takes. Amen. I'll do whatever it takes. And we waste no time. We get right into this scripture, amen, that we just read. It tells us here that Absalom was 2 years in Jerusalem, but he hadn't seen the king's face. And the king was his father, David. And we have to rewind a little bit because there was a reason for all that we see here. And it really starts with Amnon, his brother. And we know Amnon had defiled their sister Tamar. Mm-hmm. And she told Absalom of this horrific thing that her own brother did to her. And at the appointed time, I'm not saying God necessarily, but there came a time when Absalom got revenge on his brother. Mm-hmm. He killed his brother for what he had done to Tamar, their sister. And after Absalom killed his brother, he fled to Geshur.
Yes.
And he was in Geshur for 3 years. And then Joab used an old widow woman to go speak to David and to convince David through a story that she was telling about things that were going on in her life, so that David could see that there were some parallels to what was going on in his life, mm-hmm. and how he had banished his son. His son was banished and could not come back. And Joab used this woman to persuade David to change his mind. And so David said, okay, fine, the boy can come back. And so Absalom had come back. But it says in verse 24 that Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. Because David said, let him come back to his own house, but I'm not going to let him see my face. And so Absalom, after being gone for 3 years after killing his brother Amnon, he now was in Jerusalem in his house for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And David didn't allow him to see his face. And so this is now 5 years that Absalom had not seen his father.
Yes.
He hadn't seen David. And David was Absalom's father, but David was also the king. They were one and the same, mm-hmm. for Absalom. David for Absalom, one and the same. It was his father, and he was the king. And Absalom wanted to see his father and wanted to see the king. And so he said to Joab, to say, Joab, convince my father and convince the king to allow me to see his face. And Joab didn't come. And so Absalom said, okay, I'm going to try this one more time. And he sent and said, Joab, convince my father and convince the king to allow me to see his face. And Joab ignored him again. And so Absalom said, okay. He spoke to his servants and said, you see that field over there? That belongs to Joab. It's a nice barley field. Set it on fire. And they set the field on fire. That got Joab's attention. And Joab came and said, why did you set my field on fire? He said, I tried to kick you twice to help me get an audience with my father and with the king. But you wouldn't do it. So I had to get your attention somehow. And now that Joab had, his attention was now focused, he then went to David, Absalom's father and his king, and said, your son wants to see you. And Absalom's father and his king saw him and kissed him. I'll do whatever it takes.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
look at this and I see something, amen. For Absalom, David was his father and his king. They were one and the same. And there was someone who he was relying upon, amen, to help him get an audience with his father and with his king. And that person was preventing him from getting that audience. And Absalom said, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get an audience with my father and with the king. And I think about that when it comes to us. Because God is our heavenly father, isn't he? He is, even though he says nothing. He is our heavenly Father.
Amen. Yes.
It's Sunday morning. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
But he is. It's true. God is our heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And Jesus declared in the book of John that I and the Father are one. And so, just like with Absalom, he looked at David and said, in you I find my Father and my King.
Yes.
In one. And we have the same thing. In one, right? As far as we're concerned, right? God in three persons, but we know they're all one. And our Father and our King is found in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so how many times have you or I want to and need to, and it's going to happen plenty of times in the future, we need an audience with our Father and with the King.
Yes.
And see, Absalom needed an audience with his father and with his king, and Joab was standing in the way.
Wow.
And Absalom said, I'm not standing for that. I'll do whatever it takes to get to my father and my king. And one of the things that God speaks to my spirit in this is, I am not going to allow anyone to prevent me from having an audience with my father and with my king.
Amen.
I don't care whatever it takes, amen. But if somebody tries to get in the way, somebody tries to discourage me, somebody try to persuade me, somebody try to point me in another direction, somebody try to convince me that there's a better way, I'm telling you right now, I'm not letting anybody prevent me from getting an audience with my father and with my king. I'll do whatever it takes. Now, I have to say this for some of you who were born on the wrong side of the tracks. Because you're going to look at the scripture and say, you mean I can burn somebody's stuff up?
My Lord Jesus, no.
I'm not saying that you can burn somebody's stuff up. But what I'm saying is that you have to have a determination on the inside of you that says, I am not going to allow someone to keep me from having an audience with my father and with my king. Mm-hmm. Joab wouldn't allow it. He wouldn't allow it. Mm-hmm. And neither should we. Neither should we. And yet there are things in our lives that try to prevent us from getting an audience with God.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And I will tell you, amen, and some of those things are close to us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sometimes they're your family that try to distract you from hearing the word.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Yes.
And see, we got to have that thing. It's not going to play that way. I don't care who you are. You can be my husband, you can be my wife, you can be my kid, you can be my mom, you can be my dad, you can be my boss, you can be whoever you want to be. But here's the thing, I can't allow you to prevent me from getting an audience.
That's right.
With my father, amen, and with my king.
Amen. That's right.
There's gotta be a determination. I'll do whatever it takes. Why? Because I need, you see how Absalom kept saying he wanted to see the king's face. He didn't want to see the king's hand. He wanted to see his face. That's just about presence. That's just about fellowship. This is not about, Lord, I need you to bless me. This is, I need to be in your presence.
Yes.
I need to see
yes.
your face.
Yes.
It's not about seeing his hand.
Amen.
And you know, there's a story in the Gospel of Luke about a man named Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector. In fact, the Bible says that he was a chief tax collector. Mm-hmm. And Zacchaeus was rich. And the Bible also tells us that Zacchaeus was short. And he's a tax collector, so the people couldn't stand Zacchaeus because he was Jewish, but he was working for the Roman government, collecting taxes from his own people. And most of these tax collectors were robbing the people. They would charge extra. They would line their own pockets. That's how he became rich. And so Zacchaeus is a tax collector, a chief tax collector. He's rich. And the Bible tells us he was short. Why is that important? Because one day Jesus was coming by. And it was a big crowd. And Zacchaeus couldn't see because of the crowd.
Right.
And so Zacchaeus ran ahead. He broke away from the crowd. He ran ahead. And he climbed up a sycamore tree. Mm-hmm. Because he knew Jesus was going to come that way. And when Jesus came by, he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at your house.
Yes.
And the scripture says Zacchaeus made haste and came down, took Jesus home. They had dinner. But as he's dealing with Jesus, Jesus is dealing with him, the people started to murmur.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's he doing? What's Jesus doing dealing with this sinner? And what's this chief sinner, this corrupt tax collector? Look at him. He's up in the tree. But Zacchaeus didn't care. He went and he got up in the tree. He's a grown man climbing a tree.
Yeah.
He's a short grown man climbing a tree. He's a despised grown man climbing a tree.
Wow.
He is a dishonest grown man climbing a tree. And he's bringing all this attention to himself. He's making a spectacle of himself. People are pointing at him. Look at him up in that tree. They're talking about him. They don't like him in the first place. And then they're murmuring against him. And Zacchaeus didn't care. Why? Because he needed to see Jesus. See, he was not afraid to make a spectacle of himself. He was saying, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. You can talk about me like a dirty dog. You can point at me and you can murmur. You can gossip behind my back all about me. You can call me names to my face. You can tell me that I'm no good. You can get on me because of the things I've done in the past. He said, but I don't care. I need to see Jesus. And if I got to make a spectacle of myself, if I got to climb a tree, if I got to look foolish, I'll do it because I need to see Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
And with that kind of determination, Jesus saw him. And then Jesus said, make haste and come down. I have to be at your house today. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus went to his house, Zacchaeus came clean. He said, I sinned. I've taken too much money from people. I've cheated people. He said, if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to pay him back fourfold. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Mm-hmm. Now you see that? Because Zacchaeus is not concerned with how he looks.
Yes.
He's not concerned if he looks foolish. He's not concerned if people are going to point at him and call him stupid, call him silly, call him out his name. He doesn't care about any of that. You know why? Because just like Absalom, he said, I need to see Jesus, amen. I need to get into his presence. And he said, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll run. I'll make a spectacle of myself. I'll look silly. But I'm going to see Jesus. And it makes me wonder, how many prim and proper people who refuse to let their guard down, who refuse to allow themselves to look silly, who refuse to allow themselves to be vulnerable, who refuse to put them in a position where they take a risk that someone may talk about them. How many people are guarding their reputation and preserving their reputation but are working against seeing Jesus
yes.
in their life?
Mm-hmm.
We got to learn, amen. Listen, I I need the Lord. We were talking about being needy. Amen. If you're needy and you need God, forget about what people are going to say about you. I'll climb a tree. I'll climb a building. Amen. I'll stand in the corner of my upside down on my head. Amen. I'll do whatever I need. If I need to see the Lord and I believe the Lord is passing by, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Amen.
To see God. I'll make a spectacle of myself. I'm telling you now, there's people who God sends them to a church. And you go to that church, and those people, because I've seen, they don't really accept you.
No.
Your skirt is too short.
Mm-hmm.
Your pants are too tight. You're a man, you got earrings in your ear. Tattoos on your arm. You come from the wrong side of the tracks. You don't have a suit. You come in wearing jeans. And you're there because God told you to go to that church, but the people as of right now haven't been too welcoming to you.
Jesus.
I'm telling you right now, you need to endure and continue to go to that church.
Yeah.
Because forget about them pointing their fingers. Forget about them talking about you behind your back. If the Lord sent you to that church, then God got something for you at that church. Let them point. Let them talk. Let them gossip. But Jesus will see you and he'll bless you and forgive you and change your life.
Amen.
Forget about people.
Yeah. Amen.
I know God is supposed to love God and love people. I'm talking about certain people, Lord. I'm just talking about certain people. I'm talking about people who get in the way of me seeing you.
Yeah.
I gotta forget about them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Go to that church. Let them people talk.
Mm-hmm.
People on your job wondering why you spend your lunch hour reading your Bible instead of walking and sitting around with them gossiping or talking about the show or the movie or anything else. Let them talk. If God said, I want you reading your word at lunchtime, every day while you're at work, then you go ahead and do that because then you're going to see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to come by and visit you in your little cafeteria or wherever you are sitting down at your desk in your cubicle eating your lunch. Forget about those people who are gossiping.
Yes. Amen.
Because here's the thing. Ain't no gossiping person going to save you.
That's right.
Ain't no gossiping person has your deliverance in his or her hand. So the key is climb that tree. He's short, he's rich, he's a crook, he's despised, and he said, I don't care. I need to see Jesus. Amen. I need to see Jesus. He said, I'll do whatever it takes. And that's what it takes. Amen. We need to do whatever it takes. You remember those men who, it was a man who was sick of the palsy, and he had four friends who carried him on the bed.
Yes.
And they said they went to a certain house and the house was crowded because Jesus was inside preaching. And it says that those men couldn't get into the house because of the press, because of the crowd. But see, they had a thing in them. We'll do whatever it takes. They didn't allow the crowd. They didn't allow the obstacle to stop them from bringing their friend to the Lord.
Amen.
So what did they do? They went up to the roof.
Yeah.
They went up to the roof. See, there are going to be times in our lives, people, right, when things are going to block us or attempt to block us from seeing Jesus. What are you going to do? You going to give up? What are you going to do?
Wow.
Those men said, we're going to do whatever it takes. We'll climb up to the roof. And then they went up to the roof and they broke up the ceiling. They broke up the roof and let their friend down in the middle of the sermon. Jesus was teaching. He was telling people, turn with me to Psalm 23. And they just were breaking up the roof and they let their man down in the middle of the sermon. But I thought about this, Brother Lester. I thought about this. I said, look at this though. They come to the house, they're blocked off, and they say, we're not going to let this stop us. We ain't going to let these people. We came with a heart to get our friend to the Lord, and we're not going to let this stop us. Just because there's some obstacles here, that doesn't mean I'm just going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember when David was a little teenage boy, and when he came on the scene when Goliath was threatening that they were fighting God's people, the Philistines were fighting God's people. And David's father sent him to go check on his brothers, on David's brothers, who were out there at war. And they bring some cheese and bread and some other provisions. And David came up there, and Goliath was just like, "Come out here, you dirty dog. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that." He said, "Wolf, take his name." And David said, "What's going on?" And the man said, "Did you hear what the giant of the Philistines are saying? But the king said that anybody who defeats that giant, that he'll make him rich, he'll let him marry their daughter, and there'll be no taxes on his house." And David's a little boy, teenager. And he said, "Say what?" They said, "Yeah, anybody who beats Goliath, the king said he's going to make him rich, he can marry his daughter, and there's going to be no taxes on his house." And David said, "Why should this uncircumcised Philistine defy the king, the people of God?" But David had an older brother there named Eliab. And Eliab said to him, "What you come out here for? Who asked you to come out here?" And then he tried to insult him. He said, "And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?"
Yes.
He said, "And I know the naughtiness that's in your heart. You just came out here to see what was going on the battlefield." And David looked at him and said, "What have I now done?"
Yeah.
Which lets us know that Eliab would ride David and always gave David a hard time, because he said, "What have I done now? You're always on me, Eliab. What have I done now?" Amen. What have I done? And then he said to Eliab, he said, "Is there not a cause?"
Yes.
And the scripture says that after he said that to Eliab, he turned from him and turned towards somebody else and asked the same thing. What did the king say? And he was told the same thing after the same manner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that says to me? See, just because somebody tries to keep you from getting information, from getting access to God, from getting blessed to God, you got to know that there's sometime you got to go and turn and go to somebody else. That you can't allow somebody who's hating on you for some reason.
Amen.
To do that to you, amen. And you gotta let them know, okay, if not you, if you're not going to give me the answer, I'll get it from somebody else.
Amen.
You gotta have that in your spirit. If I can't get in through the front door, I'll climb the roof. If I can't get in through the front door, I'll go through the back door. If I can't get it this way, I'm gonna find another way. But I'm not going to stop at it because someone or something tries to block my access to my destiny. Because how many of you know, David had already been anointed king.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting thing. But you know, his brother was upset about David being anointed king instead of him. And you see how he tried to put David down? Who you leave them few sheep with? Why did I say few sheep?
Yeah.
Who you left them few sheep with? Who watching your little sheep? Who watching your few sheep that you got?
Wow.
It's an amazing thing. But watch this. David was already anointed king.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't gotten into the office yet, but the anointing was already upon him.
Right.
His destiny was already sealed.
Yeah.
He was already destined for greatness when his brother said to him, "Where's your few little sheep?"
Yeah.
And see, somebody needs to be encouraged by that. Oh, glory to God. Somebody needs to be encouraged by that. Right? Because right now somebody is looking at you, and God's already placed his hand of anointing on you.
Hallelujah.
He's already placed his hand of anointing on your business, on your ministry, on your family. And right now, you just got a few sheep. You just got a few sheep, amen. Yes. But the anointing is already upon it. Okay. Let them try to ridicule you. What you doing with the little few sheep? But they don't know that the hand of God has already been placed yes. on you. And what they don't see is that greatness lies ahead of you, amen. So let them talk. Let them try to put you down and just go in and talk to somebody else who's not so narrow-minded, amen. I don't have time for you. I don't care you're my brother. I don't care you're my blood relative. You a new fool right now, and I gotta talk to somebody else. You hating on me for no reason. Not my fault. God anointed me and he would anoint you. If it wasn't so mean and evil, maybe he would anoint you. But you know what? I ain't got time for that right now. What did the king say?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You gotta know what the king said, amen. You need to be concerned what the king said. Amen. And if somebody's getting in the way of what the king said, you need to go, and go to somebody else.
Amen.
Because I need a word from God. I'll do whatever it takes. If I gotta cut off a blood relative, you cut. I'm sorry. Praise God. If you wanna get in the way, I don't care, you blood relative, amen. I gotta cut you. I gotta get the word from the, I'm listening to what the king had to say. David wanted to know what did the king say. How many of you want to know what the king was saying? And if you got somebody who's getting in the way and trying to put you down and insult you and won't share with you what the king is saying, you ain't got time for that. You got to get the word.
That's right.
And so those men, amen, those men said, listen, the way is blocked, the way is blocked, but we ain't stopping here. Why? Because we'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And so they go up to the roof. And they break the roof up. It's not even their house, Brother Les. And they break the roof up. And see, we read that when they break up the roof and they let the man down. And we act like it's all neat. No, they broke up the roof. Yeah. Do you see the mess? Do you see the debris coming down? Do you see the dust?
Right.
Do you see whatever the roof is made of just broken into pieces all over the floor? Do you see the mess?
Amen.
See, if you don't see the mess, see, glory to God. Don't allow the mess to keep you from getting before Jesus. Do you know how many people try to get themselves all together before they can go before the Lord?
Yes.
Huh? Do you know how many people need their house to be all ready before they can go be? They need to fix up everything. Let the laundry stay there. Let the laundry pile up. If you need to talk to God, let the laundry pile up. Let the floor be a mess. Let the counter still, let the dishes still be in the sink. Why are you concerned about your house being messed up? They messed up that house. They messed up the house. But they still saw Jesus. I'd rather see Jesus in a messy house than have a house where everything is in order and there's no presence of God in it.
Amen.
Amen. So stop worrying about your house being everything in order. Everything got to be in order. Your clothes got to be hung up the right way, color-coded, and all that kind of stuff. You got your utensils in the drawer the right way. Your garage is all spick and span. Everything all clean. Everything in order. Let your house be a mess. Let some stuff be a mess, amen. Jesus ain't scared of no mess.
Yes.
Jesus came to fix your mess. Glory to God. So don't let the mess allow you to miss Jesus. Amen?
Jesus.
Your life is a mess. Huh? There's some people right now, they in church, I'm telling you, and the worship is good, but they ain't gonna move us so much. No, no, why? Because they're gonna mess up their clothes. I just bought this suit. I just got my hair done. I ain't sweating out my hair. They don't have the air conditioner on in here. I ain't sweating out my head.
Oh, Lord.
So I ain't getting into a mess. I ain't going to allow myself to get messed up. Oh, yeah, the praise is good. But I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to. Because if I move too much, I'm going to mess up my mascara. This is how I'm going to cost me 15. holiness, amen. Some of you don't want to get on the floor. You know you can't stand this thing. You go, whoa. I ain't falling on this floor.
No. Okay.
Allow yourself to get messed up. Amen. Jesus ain't afraid of no mess. They messed up that house.
Yes, they did.
But they still got deliverance, didn't they?
Yes, they
that
did.
Man got his sins forgiven. And when the people around were all upset, who do you think you are, Jesus, to forgive people of their sins? Jesus said, what's easier for me to do? To say your sins are forgiven or to tell him, take up that bed and walk? He said, so that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I tell you, sick of the palsy, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And that man walked with his sins forgiven and his disease cured. In the middle of a mess, because he had some friends who would do whatever it takes to get before the Lord.
Amen.
I'll do whatever it takes, amen.
Amen.
I'll do whatever it takes. If I gotta make a mess, I'll make a mess. If I gotta lead the mess, I'll lead the mess. Mm-hmm. I'd rather my lawn grow so big that it will hide small children. I don't care, amen. Amen. Don't bring a little kid on my house. But right now, another time. Because I haven't cut my lawn in a while. You might lose your kid, amen. You might lose your kid. But I don't care, man. But if it's because God is calling me and telling me to leave my lawn, then my lawn gonna grow. Amen. You can call the homeowners association or whoever you want.
Yes.
Don't worry about the mess.
Amen.
Don't worry about the mess. We gotta. I'll do whatever it takes.
Amen.
I'll do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'll do whatever it takes. I don't care. Shoot. We gotta do that, amen. Absalom wouldn't. Zacchaeus said, I'll make a fool of myself. The man sick of the palsy, his friend told him, put him up there. They didn't care. Amen. Woman had an issue of blood. She didn't care.
Nope.
They said she went to doctor after doctor after doctor, spent all the money that she had, was no better. In fact, she grew worse. And how many know? If she's having an issue of blood, she's not even supposed to be out in public. She ain't supposed to be in no crowd. But here she is in the crowd because Jesus is up there. And the scripture says she's working her way through the crowd. And she kept saying to herself, what? I can just touch the hem of his garment. I can just touch the hem of his garment. I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she pressed her way through and she touches him. But she's not even supposed to be there. Because she don't fit in. Right? She has this issue of blood. She doesn't fit in. And she said, I don't care if I don't fit in. I'm going to press through. And I need to see Jesus. Amen. There's some people right now, you don't fit in with your family because God got a hold of you and your whole family history is just one of ungodliness and dysfunction.
Jesus.
Your parents ungodly and dysfunctional. Your grandparents ungodly and dysfunctional. Your great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-great-grace and all on down the line. It's been part of your heritage. And somewhere along the line, the gracious hand of your God touched your life. And now, instead of you doing the same ungodly and dysfunctional things, you now start picking up a Bible. You now start saying, I'm going to church and to Sunday school. And because they're not used to that, they're trying to make it seem like to you, something's wrong with you because see, God has now touched you and you no longer fit in. Forget about fitting in.
Amen.
That lady, that woman didn't fit in, but she was there and she pressed her way through. You don't fit in anymore, amen. You don't fit in. You used to be on the corner. You used to be selling drugs. You used to be gangbanging. Yeah. But now all your friends are coming around trying to get you to do the same thing. But God touched your life sometime in the midnight hour. And now you don't fit in with that stuff no more. Press your way through that stuff.
Jesus.
Press your way through that stuff, amen. Press your way through and touch Jesus, amen. Press your way through because you said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. You want to tell me I don't belong here? That's fine. I'm just going to press my way through. I'm not going to sit here, amen. I'm not going to sit here. And why? Because I need to do whatever it takes. I need God. I'm needy.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road. People telling him, keep it down. Son of David, have mercy on me. Keep it down. What did he do? He yelled even louder.
Yep.
I'll get bolder. I'll get louder. Why? Because I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'll shout at the top of my lungs.
Amen.
Well, this is a quiet church in here. We just reverence the Lord quietly. Well, you're going to have to get mad at me because I'm loud.
Amen.
I'm loud. I'm going to scream loud. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, loud.
Amen.
I'm going to say hallelujah, loud. Amen. I'm going to praise God, loud. I'm not saying everybody needs to do it, but I'm not saying everybody shouldn't do it. Amen. But I'm going to praise him loud.
Amen.
That Syrophoenician woman. Lord, my daughter is grievously sick. Can you save her? Jesus tells her, it's not right for the bread that belongs to the children to be cast to the dogs. Mm-hmm. Testing her. Some perceive it was an insult, but it really wasn't. But you can see how some can perceive it as an insult. It's not right for the bread that's meant for the children to be cast to the dogs. She didn't let that discourage her. She said, you're right, Lord. But even the dogs that are under the table eat the crumbs from the children's table. And Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. And what happened? Her daughter got it. Amen. Her daughter got her healing. I just look at these people and I just see them. Amen. I see. Amen. That woman with the issue of blood saying, I don't care. I don't fit in and I don't belong here. I need God. I'm going to press through together. I see blind Bartimaeus saying, I don't care if you don't like how loud I am, how loud I dress. You don't particularly care or think I should be calling on Jesus. I don't care. I'm going to call on the Lord because I need him. And I see this woman saying, I don't care you trying to insult me. I'm going to push all past that because I need God. Put me down if you want to. Maybe you're not putting me down. Maybe you are. But really, I don't care. I need a blessing. Amen. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. And I see these people getting it. I see these people getting their blessing. And so I look at this and I'm saying to myself, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Amen. And I don't care if the influence that's trying to keep me back is coming from outside or it's coming from inside. Because sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. Sometimes I try to be too prim and proper, too sophisticated. Sometimes I don't want to let down my guard. I don't want people to see how messed up I am. Listen. Oh, glory to God. You know what Jesus said? He said, them that are whole have no need for a physician.
Yep.
Only those that are sick. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'll let you know right now, I'm broken.
Amen.
I'm not whole. Amen. I'm broken. I'm broken in so many places. Amen. I got compound fractures. I'm broken. Amen. I'm broken all over the place. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. How many people broken? Amen. Hey, I'm broken. Amen. I'm not all together. I don't have it all down. I'm broken. I'm a broke mess. Amen. And glory to God. But sometimes I don't want people to see my brokenness because they think I'm more whole than I am. And then some people can't handle your brokenness. And you know that. That's why you hold it back from them. Because if they saw it, they would turn their back on you.
Wow.
But I'm starting to get to the point where I don't care. You can see me in all my brokenness. That's why I stand before every time I got up, like I'm going to tell you, I need the Lord. Amen. I'm broken. I don't have it all together. I don't have every answer, but I need God. And I think in my brokenness, I'll see God instead of me protecting
and
being whole.
Yes. Amen.
And all these people have some brokenness in their life. Absalom has some brokenness in his life. His fellowship with his father and his king was broken. Zacchaeus had some brokenness in his life. He was a thief, amen, and he was in need of salvation, amen. That man with the sickle of the palsy has some brokenness in his life. He was wrapped in his body and in his soul, right? And so we see it, amen, but all these people have something in common. They were not going to allow anyone to keep them from having an audience with the God and the King of heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So I ain't letting nobody stop me. Amen.
Amen.
Hear God saying to you, do whatever it takes.
Yes.
God is worth it.
Yes, he
God is worth it.
Yes, he is.
God and it's worth it.
Disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He taught them how to pray. And then he told them a story. He said, if a man gets a visitor at his house at odd hours, and he comes to his friend's house saying, I need 3 loaves of bread because I just got a visitor to my house. He said, that man comes to the window and says, I'm not coming down there. I'm sleeping. My kids are sleeping. And I've shut up my house for the night. And Jesus said, though he won't give him the bread because he's his friend, he said, for his importunity, he'll give him the bread. We don't use the word importunity, but it really just really says his begging. It means his insistent, demanding pleas. That means I'm not going to take no for an answer. He said, even though he won't do it because that man's his friend, but because of his importunity, he'll get the bread. He said, he'll give him whatever he wants.
Yes.
And then Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. He was teaching about prayer. He said, you got to stay at it. And you got to have this insistence on me. I'm not leaving until I get my answer. I'm not leaving until I get my answer. And actually, if you read ask, seek, find, in the Amplified Version, it says, ask and keep on asking. Mm-hmm. See, we get to ask God, and God didn't answer right then, and we go, well, I asked the Lord. No, see, you got to be importunate. I'll do whatever it takes. If I got to ask 15 times, I'm coming before God. I'm not moving.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Until I get my answer.
Amen.
We got to be pests in a spiritual way. But we gotta have a path. We gotta be tenacious.
Amen.
You remember that little widow that unjust judge? The Bible says he was an unjust judge. He didn't honor God and he didn't regard man. And the widow came and said, avenge me of my adversary. And that unjust judge said, even though I don't honor God and I don't regard man, he said, I'm gonna have to answer this woman. Lest she weary me by continuing to come. Come on, somebody. He said, lest you weary by continuing to come. He said, I'm going to answer you. We have to be persistent. I know you've been praying about it, but have you left off praying about it? I know you've been believing it for a time, but it hasn't happened yet. Have you left off believing?
Yeah.
See, you got to be tenacious and say, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Isn't that what Jacob said? He fight with the man all night.
Mm-hmm.
And that man told him, let me go. It's about to break the dawn. Amen. The dawn's about to come up. And Job said, I don't care about that. I won't let go till you bless me.
Amen.
See, that's our heritage. Amen. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll fight you all night. I ain't going to let go till you bless me. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll knock on your door till you and your kids come down here. I'm getting some bread. I'm not going to leave till you bless me. I will wear you out with my continued asking. I'm not going to stop till you watch. I need it. What do you need in your life? Do you need it enough where you aren't going to accept anything except yes for an answer?
Amen.
Especially when it's the will of God to give it to you. There are some things God wants to give to me that the only reason why I don't have them is my fault. I know that to be true because I get too distracted. I believe and then I stop believing. It's not that God doesn't want to give it to me, but it may take a little bit more persistence. It may take a little bit more perseverance. It may take a little bit more for me, and I haven't done it. I haven't done whatever it takes. God might have told somebody, turn your plate over more, but you don't do it. Okay. God told somebody else to do something else. Give more. Serve more. Read more. Do this. Do that. Sometimes it's related to his word. Sometimes it's just something that's in the natural. And God tells you to do it. But you haven't done it. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? That don't make any sense. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Walking around Jericho made no sense, but it was still the commandment of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Glory to God. We We're going to leave with this, amen. I'm going to close my book. We're still in 2 Samuel 14, but I don't think we're coming back. I think we went other places, amen. But let's just end with this. Do you remember in the Bible, there's a story about some Greek men who approached Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Remember that? "Sir, we would see Jesus." Mm-hmm. And the scripture says that Philip went to Andrew and told him what happened. Andrew, there's some guys over there. Mm-hmm. They hear what they want. They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I said, "Okay, well, let's go to the Lord." So Philip and Andrew both went to the Lord. And Jesus said, "What's going on, fellas?" He said, "There's some Greek men outside." And they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Jesus looked at them. And he said, "Now is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified." And he said, "Verily, verily, I tell you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Mm-hmm. But if it dies, it bears much fruit."
Yes.
He started teaching them about stuff. He started teaching them, amen, that about heaven. He said he started teaching them about things. And he's talking to God, and God answered him from heaven. And people said, they said, "Oh, that's thunder." And other people said, "That's the voice of an angel." And Jesus said, "That voice came not for my sake, it came for your sake." Yes. He said, "Because the time is coming now for this world to be judged." Yes. "And for the prince of this world to be cast out. But if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And he kept talking, and he kept talking, and he kept teaching, and he kept talking, and he kept teaching. And I ain't a Bible scholar, but I can read. And there is nowhere that I see in the scripture that those polite Greek men ever got their audience with Jesus.
Amen.
So know what I say? You can be polite if you want. You can be all nice and correct. People making bumper stickers and signs and putting up in church, "Sir, I would see Jesus." But I'm telling you, my Bible doesn't tell me that those polite men ever got an audience with the Lord. So you know what that tells me? Forget being polite. Forget being prim and proper. Forget being all customary and being all decorous and sophisticated and all these things. I'm not doing that. I'll do whatever it takes to get to see Jesus. And if politeness don't work, I'm kicking politeness out the window. Because those men were polite. They were all this. And they didn't get to see God. So you know what? I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus. I'll yell even louder. You mad? I don't care, amen. Because I've been polite, and polite didn't get it done. I'm going to yell. I'm going to fight. I'll fight and wrestle you all night, amen, to get my blessing. I'm not worried about being polite. I'll burn bridges, amen. I ask why I'm burned up field. I ain't going to burn your lawn, but I might burn the bridge, amen. The bridge that I mentioned. I'll torch that bad boy in a minute. I'll burn up some stuff. I'll tear up some stuff. I'll mess up some stuff. I'll get my suit messed up. I'll get my hair messed up. Well, I'll get messed up. I'll just get messed up. I'm going to get messed up. I'll mess up somebody's house. I'll mess up somebody's church. I don't care. I need to see Jesus. I ain't going to be all polite. I'll smack my mouth while I'm eating. I'll do all kinds of things. I don't care. I ain't worried about being prim and proper. I'm not worried about Miss Manners and all that stuff. I'll take out a two-pin at the table. I'll do all kinds of things. I don't care. Because I'll do whatever it takes.
See Jesus. Woo. Bless
you. I'll do whatever it takes.
Amen.
To see the Lord. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll burn the bridge. I'll torch that thing in the minute. tear up your house. I'll make a mess. Amen. I'll climb a tree. I'll climb a tree in a minute. Amen. I ain't heard that tree. You can call me monkey if you want to. I'm climbing the tree. I'll be blessed. Amen. You call me whatever you want. I'm going to be blessed. I'll climb that tree.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I certainly will. Amen. I'll press my way through. I'll elbow you in your ribs to get to Jesus. I thought that woman did your blood. She would elbow people in their ribs. Come on. Boom. I gotta see the Lord. Take some of that. I'll elbow you in the ribs. I don't care. Amen. I'll step on your feet. Amen. Don't worry. Jesus is a healer. I'll keep on walking. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I'll do whatever it takes.
Yes.
I'll do whatever it takes. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because I need the Lord in my life.
Amen.
And I'm not going to stop. Amen. I'm not going to let anybody stop me. I'm not going to let anything stop me. And neither are you. Amen. Why? Because you need the Lord too. Amen. Don't let nothing stop you. Don't let anyone stop you. Press through and do whatever it takes to see your Father and your King. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's rest on our feet today and pray.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Feel like running. Amen. God is a good God.
Yes,
Father, we bless you today.
Yes, Father.
And we thank you, God, hallelujah, for just encouraging our spirits so much.
Yes, Father.
That, Father, we will do whatever it takes to get into your presence, to have an audience with our Father and with our King.
Yes,
Father God, we hear you just encouraging us not to let anything or anybody, whether from the outside or from the inside, keep us from getting an audience with
yes,
you
Lord.
And with our Savior.
God.
And so, Father, we're just praying now for the help of your Holy Spirit, for the power of your Holy Spirit,
yes.
to walk out this word that you've given us. That's our simple prayer today, God. Help us to walk it out. Help us, God, to make the right choices
yes, Lord.
And not allow anything, natural or spiritual, get in the way of us getting an audience with our Father and our King. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will help everyone under the sound of my voice to walk this word out, oh God, that you will inspire them, that you will bring this word to their remembrance, that you will stir up their gift of faith that they have, that they may walk in this word and receive all of the blessings that are in it. And Father, we thank you right now as we just lift up our hands in reverence and in surrender, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name.